And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Visit DirecTV.com. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
And welcome to another episode of Game Notes, your Utah Jazz podcast on the Athletic Podcast Network. I'm Dave DeFore, joined as I am each and every week by my guy, Tony Jones. What's up, Tony?
Yo, yo. What up?
You know, not much. Nothing really happening with the Utah Jazz. So figured I'd just, you know, do a little check-in. And
there's always something happening with the Utah Jazz.
Well, okay. There's always something happening with Tony Jones as it relates to the Utah Jazz, even if the Utah Jazz aren't necessarily doing anything actively. Tony, you just put out the first of a multi-part series looking at the roster, kind of breaking it down, front court, back court, I don't know, side court. I'm assuming the coaching staff's going to get a look. What all you have planned coming up the next few weeks with the roster breakdown?
Well, front court. No, wait a minute. So I just did the back court, which turned out to be, you know, pretty substantial. A lot of meat on that bone in that story. And then, you know, we talk about the forwards and then we go to the bigs. But, you know, I think the main thing that I wanted was to, you know, basically review the season that was for the back court. In this specific case. And, you know, I think we talked about everybody in the backcourt and, you know, just, you know, a little bit of forward look ahead on, you know, what the backcourt might look like next year, which we don't know because there's so much variance on what can happen with the Jazz. But just, you know, what kind of fit could be in that backcourt. And I honestly think that there's potential for, you know, pretty significant change in the backcourt because, you know, I think the Jazz are structurally in the backcourt. So, you know, I think that's something that, you know, we wanted to look at and kind of look at it from all angles.
Well, I guess any backcourt conversation starts with the star, Donovan Mitchell. Number one, right? Like, I mean, I'm assuming that the expectation is Donovan Mitchell is the guy for the long haul. That's the guy that they're going to build around. He's their star. He drives the offense for them. What do we expect from Donovan Mitchell as we look ahead to next season? Because for me, one of the glaring weaknesses would be defense, right? Like, I think that he should have a commitment on the defensive end when he comes back, right? Like, you need to see a little bit more resistance up front. That would be my priority number one. But Tony, you know, you're there with them all the time. What do you think that they're kind of leaning with Donovan Mitchell as far as like his focus this summer?
Well, I think that there's, you know, a couple of ways that things are probably going to go with Donovan. I think the news is the newsy part of it is I expect him to be the full-time point guard next year. You know, I think that there's, you know, increasing momentum within, you know, the franchise to really make that change, which will probably have a ripple effect on Mike Conley in some sort of way. But, you know, I think the Jazz are putting significant pressure on Donovan to have his best season, the best season of his career in a multitude of ways. You know, next year, you know, they want, you know, he's got to get better defensively. He's got to get better offensively. He's got to get more efficient. But defensively is definitely something where that needs to be a focus. But, you know, I think overall the Jazz are like, okay, we know you're an all-star, but, you know, we want you to be at the end of next season. We want there to be no doubt that you're going to make one of the three All-NBA teams for the first time in your career.
What? Now, that's a goal.
You know, and that's a goal. So, you know, and it should be a goal, you know, because he's got that type of talent. So, you know, if you know, I think that, you know, if he makes a leap, which they thought he would make this year, and he didn't make that leap this year, but if he makes a leap, the Jazz are going to be a better team for it. So, and I think that that's something that, you know, the Jazz, you know, really want from Donovan. They want him to, no question, be a franchise player next year.
Well, then I guess the question marks, we maybe don't call them question marks, but the variance, I should say, okay? Because when we get to the next guys, it's the guys after Donovan Mitchell that I think there might be some changes, right? And I think it starts with Mike Conley. You said Donovan Mitchell's going to be the full-time point guard. Well, where does that leave Conley? I mean, he's older, not the defender that he used to be. And, I mean, frankly, a little undersized on the defensive end to be that off-ball guard, especially because this team has struggled so much point of attack and on the wing. You know, is Mike Conley a guy who might not even be there next year?
You know, I certainly think that there's a chance that he might not be there, but, you know, if he's, you know, I think that if he's on the roster, you know, I think that there's a good chance that he's coming off the bench next year, you know, for the first time in his career. And, you know, I think that, you know, I can't say that with 100% certainty, but I do think that that's something that's for sure in play. You know, Utah's biggest priority this offseason is to get bigger around Rudy Gobert. And, you know, one of the ways you get bigger is you take Donovan Mitchell, who is super small for a shooting guard, and you put him at point guard to where he's got above average positional size because of his wingspan and his body mass. You know, so that means, you know, that means changes to the backcourt, and that means, you know, potentially changes, you know, potential seismic changes with Mike Conley. You know, it'll be interesting to see, you know, how that works out in that dynamic. But I mean, there's certainly, you know, because I thought Conley had a really good first half of the season. And then he had to carry the load because of injuries and COVID and guys being in and out of the lineup. He had to carry the load in January, but he never recovered from having to expend that much physical energy in January. He basically ran out of gas, and, you know, that came to a head in the playoffs. If Mike Conley was anything in the playoffs close to where he was last year, the Jazz probably, that's probably a different series. And, you know, Mike Conley just did not have it on either end of the floor. And it hurt the Jazz massively.
Well, if Conley is going to go to the bench, what does that mean for Jordan Clarkson? Because I think you and I agree on this. Jordan Clarkson was their second best offensive player. And I mean, in stretches, he was better than Donovan in that playoff series. And I think, taking into account Donovan being injured. But I just think Clarkson provided so much for them off the bench. And I don't know how they stand to lose him, if that's what you're thinking, unless you're thinking he might slide into the starting lineup.
Well, I don't know if he slides into the starting lineup. I do think that he was, I think he was full stop. I think he was Utah's best player in that series offensively. You know, and I don't know that I would start Jordan Clarkson.
Doesn't help with the size, you know.
I mean, it helps. Listen, he's 6'5". I mean, he's a big guard, but you know, it doesn't help defensively. And you know, I mean, Jordan Clarkson is a six man. Like that's you know, that's what his skill set is. And I don't think you want to deviate from that. You know, so the question is, if you have Mike Conley on the roster, can you have Jordan Clarkson on the roster, or vice versa? So, you know, it's moving Donovan to the point creates such a interesting ripple effect that, you know, they're going to be, to me, there are going to be some tough questions that have to be answered by the front office. And I think, you know, Jordan Clarkson and Mike Conley are one of them. And one of the questions is, can we have both of those guys on the roster coming off the bench, and, you know, and keep both of those guys happy in terms of touches?
Do you think is that workable?
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
I think it is, but, you know,
it could be potent.
I don't know.
It could be really potent. You know, if you had a 1-2 punch, because, you know, Conley, I mean, he can shoot. He can get your offense into your offense. I mean, it could almost be like having, you know, a 1A starting unit and a 1B if Conley and Clarkson can make it work off the bench. But I just think Clarkson, he has so much value with the ball in his hands. And does Conley
right.
take away from that value if he's out there, or unless Conley's playing even less of a playmaker role?
Right. You know, and that's the question. Those are some of the questions that the Jazz front office has to answer. And I don't envy them, to be honest. You know, I think the idea is if you move Mitchell, you have to get bigger around him. And, you know, I don't know. You know, I don't know that I don't know that the answer is yes in terms of having both on the roster. I don't know that the answer is no, but I certainly also don't know if the answer is yes either.
All right. Now, there's a few young guys that they've got, didn't get a lot of playing time. And one of the more disappointing ones to me, Nickeil Alexander-Walker, not disappointing as a player, disappointed that we didn't get to see much of him after he was acquired by New Orleans. And I know this is more of a long-term play. He's a bit of a second draft guy, so to speak, for the Jazz. How do you feel about Nickeil and his long-term value to the team? I mean, is this a guy that they're hoping potentially slides into that Jordan Clarkson six-man role as a guy that can maybe save them a little bit of money and be like a microwave guy, or maybe even be able to give you a little bit on both ends, since he's not the worst defender that I've seen as a young guard?
I mean, I think, first of all, I think he has to prove that he can play in Utah's system. And I'm not sure that he did that last year in his time with the Jazz. He obviously didn't have that many opportunities. But, you know, I like his size. I like his ability to sit down and defend. I like his ability to pass the ball. I think he can do a number of things on both ends of the floor that don't show up in the box score. You know, but the shooting has to come along. You know, the decision making has to come along. The pick and roll play has to come along. You know, I think he's somebody who needs to make big strides this summer. You know, but he's intriguing. He's certainly intriguing. He's certainly worth keeping on the roster. It'll just be interesting to see, you know, how the Jazz deal with it. And, you know, so many of these questions are hard to answer because, you know, I honestly do not know who's going to be on the roster on July 15th. And this is, I think this is the first year that I've covered the Jazz that, you know, I've just, other than one guy, you know, I just don't know who's going to be on the roster, who's not going to be on the roster. You know, they could, you know, most of this core could very well come back intact, or they could make multiple trades around multiple guys in the core that causes the roster to look quite a bit different by this time 6 weeks from now. So, you know, I think the Jazz like Nikhil. I think they like, you know, his potential. I think they like his size, his body type, his athleticism. But I mean, to me, there's just so much that can happen from June 15th to July 15th that, you know, it's going to be it's tough to peg who's going to be on the roster, you know, once July hits.
So Jared Butler, Trent Forrest, those two guys that I don't know. Do you feel like both of those guys are going to make it through the summer with Utah?
I don't know. You know, Trent's a free agent, so there's that for him. You know, in Jared, you know, he's got, you know, one more year, I believe, before free agency, as, you know, and, you know, I think, as I alluded to in my story, I think Jared is really talented. Like, he's got a bunch of talent. I'm just not sure how well he fits on the roster because, you know, he's a guy who needs the ball in his hands to be effective. And, you know, he's somebody that, you know, I think that, you know, one day, whether it's this summer, whether it's next summer or whatever, he's going to go to another roster and he's going to average like 19 points a game. And Jazz fans are going to be like, well, why couldn't he do that with us? And the answer is going to be, well, you know, if you put the ball in Jared Butler's hands to average 19 points a game, you're taking the ball out of Donovan Mitchell's hands. So which one would you like? You know, but he can certainly play. He's, you know, he's got a terrific change of pace. He's a good pick and roll player. He's a good passer. I think he's made strides in the playmaking department. But, you know, there are multiple guys, you know, on the roster that stand between him and playing time. Now, maybe that path gets eased over the next 6 weeks. And, you know, we look up and we're like, oh, okay, you know, Jared Butler's going to score, going to play 20 minutes a night without question. But, you know, maybe not. So it's just going to be interesting to see, you know, what happens in terms of, you know, in terms of what happens with the roster, in terms of what happens, you know, with Jared Butler individually going forward.
Well, next week we'll talk about the front court, which to me, Tony, I mean, that's the part that has to change. They've got to get bigger. They've got to get stronger and they got to get more defensive. So next week, right, we'll take a look at that. And maybe we'll even have some candidates for some potential signings or trades in mind and just try to think out loud a little bit about how they can beef up the defense around Rudy Gobert. How's that sound?
Absolutely.
Well, that's going to do it for this week's episode of Game Notes. For Tony Jones, I'm Dave Dufour. Keep it locked in to the Athletic Podcast Network for the rest of the playoffs and the finals. Check out the Athletic NBA show, The Daily Ding, every single morning after the game. Go and check that out. For For Tony, I'm Dave. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you next week on another episode of Game Notes.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.